Sometimes in doing mindfulness practice, there's an emphasis on the body. Sometimes there's an emphasis on the mind. And I think for many people, mindfulness itself, attention, awareness, is often associated with the mind. And the mind has an interesting characteristic in being something that we can to some degree engage with, apply, apply our attention. And it's also something which can operate without conscious application. And to bring these two together at the beginning of a retreat, what's nice to do is to apply ourselves to create the conditions where the mind would like to be present, where the mind is not only welcomed and invited to be aware and present for experience, but the mind somehow is supported or encouraged, or so the mind kind of inclines to being present. And so we're putting together the conditions here. So the mind is, feels that being here and present rather than there and then is interesting, is the default, is the place the mind wants to be. So if here and now there's a lot of aversion or a lot of resistance or a lot of struggle, it's natural for the mind not to want to be present for that. If here and now there's a feeling of welcome or an attitude of generosity or kindness, compassion for what's here, for itself, it's a little bit easier for the mind to want to be here, be with experience. And so in the beginning of a retreat, giving some care and attention to somehow gently offering the conditions, creating the conditions that support the practice. And one of the interesting things that can help this is that first, when you first sit down to meditate or first day of a retreat, don't be too concerned about getting it right. Sometimes it's actually better to not be too good at this practice than it is trying to be really good and successful and trying to follow every breath or be present for every moment. But to allow a certain kind of ease or generosity of spirit to yourself. And the way to one way to have that kind of generosity and ease with not being really good at the practice, allowing yourself to not quite do it right even, or to be on top of it all the time, is be sincere in offering the best effort you can to practice. So some sincerity, engagement. And then when your mind wanders off or it becomes difficult to be present, to notice what that is. To notice that. Not as something that's the enemy or as a problem, but something that can be held in awareness. Seen for what it is. And seen in a way that this is where the experimentation, the application of conditions comes into play. Seeing if you can be present for the distractions, be present for the difficulties in a kind way, maybe in a non-reactive way or equanimously by seeing it, though this is what's happening in the present. So the very things that are might seem like the challenge the first day of the retreat are turned into that which supports the practice by recognizing, seeing, helping you find a way to create the conditions of goodness or skillfulness of how you are here with whatever is going on. It's customary at the beginning of a retreat the first day to often emphasize breathing as a focus of attention. And for some people this works nicely, partly because it's so simple. Just stay with the simplicity of breathing and try not to make it too complicated what you're doing here. The mind wanders off and come back to the breathing. Don't have to figure a lot out. Seeing if you can experiment with how you're with the breathing, where the mind is relaxed, receptive, with a certain kind of diligence, certain kind of, you know, engagement with the process, but without any stress. Seeing if you can experiment with the kind of attention, the quality of attention, where your mind would like to be engaged that way. Feels welcoming or satisfying to be aware. What would that look like? What would that feel like? To be aware of the breathing. But don't try to be too good at it. Rather, notice what is happening. And so as you are sitting here, begin this sitting. To also call upon your body. To invite your physical experience of embodiment. To be the temple, to be the container, to be the home for awareness. And to take a few moments to scan through your body, to feel and sense how your body is now. The weight of it. Contact with your chair or your cushion. Whatever sense of solidity or openness that you have within your body. The play of sensations as they come and go through your body as they appear. Some stay, some come and go quickly. And what kind of attention, what kind of awareness of your body can you have that encourages you to be with your experience? Or feels like a home base or feels welcoming for attention to be in? the mind to be there, here in your body. And then within your body is part of your physical experience. Maybe noticing how the body experiences breathing. The movements of the body as you breathe. The kind of sensations that alternate between inhaling and exhaling. And perhaps if there's a sense of release as you exhale, you can expand that sense of release, letting go as you exhale, for a few minutes to relax any tension that you have in your body. Each time you exhale, softening the shoulders, the belly, the chest. Perhaps as you exhale, you can even soften the mind, the brain, the thinking muscle. Letting there be a meeting between the experience of breathing and awareness. So that as you're breathing, the experience of the body breathing meets your capacity to be aware. Your capacity to be aware meets breathing. And in that meeting, allowing yourself to feel and sense the experience of breathing. And the experience of being aware. And perhaps the experience of being aware in that meeting, the experience of being aware can be open, kind of like if there's a lot of space for the meeting with breathing. A receptivity. And in that receptivity and intimacy of meeting between breathing and awareness, each time you exhale, maybe letting go of the thoughts that have come in. So there can be a fuller meeting between awareness and breathing. And don't worry about doing a good job with breath meditation. If something makes it difficult to be with your breathing or takes you away, experiment with knowing that, being aware of that in a relaxed and open way. As if that's the appropriate place to be aware for that moment. And finally, if you find yourself getting really sleepy or dull, you might sit with your eyes open. Being here, being now, How are you aware of what is happening? If you weren't aware, how can you return to awareness in a way that would support the mind to want to be here? Traditional Buddhist teaching puts a big emphasis on conditionality. And it does so explicitly to as an alternative to the way that many times we put emphasis on self, understanding things from the point of view of the self, the agent, self, the person who experiences, and the doer. And conditions are a wider field than any idea of self that we have. And the conditions that we have supports the growth of practice. Or we try to have those conditions that support practice, support our movement towards freedom. They're supposed to have conditions that move us in the opposite direction. And so we can't only rely on conditions, but it's an important part of what we do. So the retreat itself is some thought has been given, gone to creating the conditions of simplicity, of quiet, of silence, of kind of stepping away from the normal social and work activities of our life, so that in the simplicity here, it's a little bit easier for things to unfold and relax and to heal and to open and to be aware. And so there's certain conditions we have in the environmental conditions. And also some thought, some attention can be given to creating the inner conditions that makes it a little bit easier or supportive for us to be here, to be attentive, to be present. And that's something that we contribute, you have to contribute. And what simple ways can you do to create an inner environment that is encouraging for you to be present? And I think simplicity is one of those. Just be simple with your life here and with yourself. Another is to, not to invest a lot of importance or authority to a lot of your thinking that you have. A lot of the distractive thinking, papancha, that might be there. And I think if you pay attention, you kind of, some of the great pull into the world of thoughts is somehow the mind thinks that's really important. And maybe there's a kind of inner shift that you can make of not investing so much importance in those, not to be dismissive, not to be in conflict with it, but rather to kind of invest or offer much more importance to your lived experience here in the moment. What's really like to be alive right now, be human right now, and to recognize what's happening. Perhaps a condition that you can offer is to maybe not to be in conflict with what's happening in the present moment. And it's easy to be in conflict because, you know, if the task is to be with breathing, for example, and just a lot of things make it difficult to be with the breathing, you're sleepy or distracted, or there's a lot of momentum of concerns, or momentum of physical sensations, or tension, or a lot of emotions that are arising. It can feel like that's in conflict with the simple task of being present for the breathing. And so, how to not be in conflict with it? At the same time, not be swept along by it, not be lost in that whole world. Some people find that a condition of kindness or generosity helps being relaxed, being equanimous. So what are the conditions you can supportedly put in place here, try to offer? One of the conditions that I suggested was don't try to be too good at this. You know, you can be good later. Maybe as the retreat goes along, you'll settle in, and as you settle in and relax, a lot of your kind of the momentum of the mind quiets down. It's with time, it becomes easier and easier to be focused and present. And it's maybe easier to come to that if you're not struggling to do a good job at first. In the same time, you don't want to be too lackadaisical or just too accepting. Oh, whatever's fine. Gil said, don't try to do a good job, and therefore I'll just have this wonderful fantasy for the next two sittings. You also want to kind of be sincere, offer the best effort you can. And in the beginning of retreat, there's a certain degree of kind of manual labor involved, coming back, showing up, remembering. But how to do that manual labor in a within a way that feels right or enjoyable or feels supportive or creates the conditions, supports the conditions of wanting to be here. Some people even find it supportive to be playful about it. Sometimes maybe think of it as an exercise in compassion. Or maybe, you know, a contentment. Just be content with the simplicity of coming back, showing up, letting go of your thoughts, coming back. Variety of things. So this is a retreat of experienced practitioners. You've all been on retreat before, and so I think we trust that you know the most basic instructions for practice, and gives us opportunity to offer something a little bit more. And so this morning I offered this idea of, you know, caring, being a caretaker for the conditionality, the conditions. What can you offer? What conditions can you offer so that your mind wants to be present, wants to wake up? And if you're struggling in a conflict, it's a little harder for the mind to want to be here. So what can you offer? What's available for you to offer, given you who you are, how you are now? What are you able to offer to yourself? And it's a little bit more complicated idea than, you know, an ordinary retreat where we just kind of focus more on the simplicity of just being with the breath at the beginning. If any of you would like to ask any question about that, you're welcome to ask a question or about the practice at this point. Maybe maintaining the silence is supportive. Developing the practice, showing up. So a couple of small things. So if you're more than welcome in the hall here to stand up during the sitting. If you find yourself really sleepy, you can quietly stand up and just do standing meditation for a while, for the duration. And that can be for support of this first day when there's a lot of sleepiness at times. And sometimes it's, again, good to keep the eyes open when you're sleepy. Sometimes it's even more useful when you're standing so that you know, it's a long way to fall. And you know, if you do find yourself really sleepy the first day, please, you know, take a nap if you feel that's helpful and supportive. I think different people, there's so many different variations of how individuals find their way on retreat and what works for them. So you'll find your own way. You probably know a little bit already since you've done retreats before. So, you know, you'll find your way with it. But one of the things I'd like to say about napping, which is fairly common the first day, that I think not everyone, this is not true for everyone, but there's something about taking nap, but not taking a long nap. There's something about the 10-15 minute range that seems to be kind of a way of taking off the edge of sleepiness without kind of falling into some, or losing the momentum of the practice that sometimes works. Though some people find it much better to take a long nap if there's a need, but If you might at some point to see if this works for you, this short kind of cat nap, pat power nap, vipassana nap, you know, the short one, maybe that kind of can be more helpful sometimes in a longer one. I hope you enjoy the day and enjoy the settling in process and And I hope that your experience of being on retreat before gives you more kind of acceptance and equanimity for what these first day or two can be as in the settling in process. And be very generous to yourself and trust the process.
Actually, I'll start by following on a little about what Gil said about the napping. I find on retreat, when I need to rest, I lie down and let go and like let myself move towards sleep. But if you notice, often we can notice this moment just as the mind like drops, you know, that moment when the mind just drops into sleep. When I can catch that moment and then get up immediately after that moment, that release seems to be what the rest the mind needs is. And for me, that takes about 15 minutes, actually. So it's interesting to just notice that moment of release and then get up. So I found that to be a really, really useful exploration on retreat. If I let myself actually sleep after that point, then I can be really groggy. But that moment of just that release, then when I get up, I'm quite alert. So I offer that as a possible exploration for the napping. The Vipassana napping. Related to walking, and the instructions in the Satipatthana Sutta around walking are pretty sketchy. There's two places where it's referred to in the body. The foundation of body. It says, when walking, in one, the section on the postures, basically says to the effect that when walking, know that you're walking. So that's a very simple exploration. And I would encourage that in particular anytime you're walking in the in-between times. Just be aware while walking. Walk and know that you're walking. And in that awareness, the kind of, as Gil mentioned last night, we're talking about establishing mindfulness. And as mindfulness gets established, it can be either very focused on some particular aspect of experience or very broad. And in the in-between times, that just walking and knowing that you're walking can create the conditions for you to be very broadly aware while knowing that you're walking. And so that's one piece of the walking practice, is a support for the continuity through our whole day. Anytime you're walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, be aware that that is what you're doing. And yet we do have the schedule set up to alternate formal periods of practice of sitting meditation and walking meditation. And so it's helpful to have a form of practice for the walking as we have for the sitting. And you're all experienced, so you've all done varieties of walking practice before. A traditional one is to cultivate some concentration while walking by letting the attention really settle in the feet, noticing the lifting, moving, placing, perhaps slowing down the movement so that you can really feel the shift in the sensations. Again, the exploration around both directing and receiving. Gil talked about that with respect to the breath, that we can turn the attention to the breath and then receive that experience. So not so much trying to, you know, find all the sensations of the breath, but just take in what's available to be known in that field. And very similarly with the walking, like as the foot lifts, just the curiosity, what's available to be known in the foot as it moves and places, just the sensations that are appearing in the foot. I sometimes use this an analogy around this receptive focus that we're talking about right now, that it's kind of like the way a radio works, a radio receiver, that you, with a radio, you can tune to receive a particular frequency. And yet the radio isn't designed to go out and grab that frequency. We just tune it, and then that particular wavelength comes to the radio. All the wavelengths are coming to the radio, but the radio is attuned to that. And I think attunement is a nice word there. We are attuning to a particular area of experience, in this case the feet, and seeing what's coming to us in that attunement, so that it's not the effort of like trying to do it. In some ways, I think that might be a way to look at what Gil means by not needing to be good at this. Like, just let what comes to you be what comes to you. That's fine. That's sufficient. That's enough. That may be enough for now. I'll probably say some other things about walking, and we may both say some other things about walking as the days go on. So, it's a beautiful day for practice.